Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Father, Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. How kind you are to us, how good you are to us. We've been prophesying each day and each night that in this year, God, you're going to take that which is bad and turn it into good. Our faith declares our God is on the move, and there's nothing that can happen to us that you can't do something about it. We thank you this night and every day for the glory of God that is operating in our lives with all diligence. We guard our heart and guard this anointing that you have shared with us over the years. Let every man and every woman be blessed tonight by the power of the Lord. We thank you for this. We thank you for this. We thank you that there is a working of the Spirit in us now. And it's not something we have to get, but thank God, because you've deposited it in our hearts. It's something we already have. In Jesus' name, now bless every man and woman here tonight. Let the greatness of God flow out of us into this realm and atmosphere that we've gathered. And may this place fill up with the glory of God. In fact, let's lift our hands again and thank God for a manifestation of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Someone said, well, what did you tell him? Well, none of your business. Praise the Lord. Turn around and tell somebody, I've got the anointing of Christ working in me now. That's it. Tell someone else, I've got the anointing of Christ working in me now. Praise God. I said hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Someone say, I've got the anointing of Christ working in me now. Praise God. Praise God. We've been having a wonderful time. How many of you have attended at least one of the day services? May I see your hand? You've been in at least, look at that, Pastor, at least one of the day services. Oh, almost two-thirds of our people. That's wonderful. Give yourself a hand. You've been faithful. Well, that was a little weak. I guess you're not too thrilled about yourself. You have your Bible. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Mark, St. Mark's Gospel, and in particular the 11th chapter as we, at least tonight, I can't say we conclude this because I found so many new things and slants on this message that God has given us that I can see I could preach this for years and never run out. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want you to notice in Mark chapter 11, what Jesus said in the 17th verse. And he taught, saying unto them, that is his disciples, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, a place where you can speak to God and where you can cast your cares upon the Lord. Amen. And where you can settle some issues that the Lord would give you peace in your mind so the devil can't constantly whip you and battle you and have a triumphant work in your mind. No, we triumph through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you say amen? You'd be surprised how many people the devil works through their mind and upsets them. I took a call from a minister, actually two minister friends of mine tonight, and both are dealing with two different issues, but it had the same result. One was dealing with a financial issue, and the other was dealing with a physical issue. But both of them got over into fear, and it began to affect their physical body. And to both of them, I found that the Holy Ghost had me to pray the same way. I call it the prayer of faith. Now, if the employer is the one that does the employing, then the prayer is the one that does the praying. We've always looked at that word prayer as an intangible thing. Yeah, we're going to pray now. Well, yeah, we pray, but who does the praying? The one that does the praying is the prayer. Amen. And so the Bible says, we'll get to it in a moment in James, the prayer of faith, the one that's doing the praying, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So obviously we have something to do with bringing God's power to bear to help people, to encourage people, and to be a blessing. Can you say amen? Isn't it interesting that God chooses to use us to advance the work of his kingdom? One day I was riding with my father, and just a couple of months ago he went to heaven, and I was riding with him last year, and we were talking about a particular minister that had failed the Lord And all of a sudden my dad sighed and he said, "Isn't it sad? We're all that God has to work with." He wasn't critical of the man that fell. He brought it on himself and me. We're the best God's got. Amen. And so we thank God that he enables us and counts us faithful, Paul said, and puts us in the ministry. God is faithful. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is faithful. Well, Jesus said, "My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves." So you see, you have to put some order so that the prayer works. There's some things that have to be put in order in our lives so that prayer will work. And so the Bible says that Jesus, he cleansed the temple. Are you listening to me? And he changed the way things were done. He cast out them that exchanged money, the money changers, and those that sold and bought. He just cleaned house and put things in order so that the anointing for prayer or breaking through to the presence of God to meet the needs of people was restored back into the house of God. Well, the Bible says, "Know ye not that our bodies," your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so when we're talking about prayer, we're talking about you and we're talking about me. We are the prayers. And again, just like the employer employs, the prayer prays. Can you say amen? So we're talking about effective prayer and we're talking about getting answers to prayer. Can you say amen? Well, then the Bible teaches us in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4, where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, "What doest thou?" Or in our language, "What do you think you're doing?" If you have authority and you're in charge, then you have the ability to do what God shows you to do. And where the word, how many are glad for the word we've been receiving each night? Where the word of a king is, there's power. There is an evidence, there is a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says the Spirit and the word, they agree. Do you believe that tonight? And then the Bible goes on to say to every one of us, and we believe it, Job chapter 22, verse 28, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee." Literally, God's word teaches us and shows us that as we pray and as we speak by faith, we can make a decree, and what we decree in prayer and by faith shall be established. Or in other words, it will manifest. Doesn't it seem to you something is unusually wrong when people pray and seemingly they get no answers to prayer? When Jesus plainly taught, "Everyone that asketh receiveth." And so if Jesus said, "Everyone that asketh or prays receives," and you're not receiving, well, there's nothing wrong on God's end. If we're going to do a checkup, we better check up our own lives. Can you say amen? Because God said, "I am the Lord God and I change not." And so if he wanted your prayers answered then, he wants your prayers answered now. And then again, as I said on Sunday, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do you believe that? But the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually received. And so understanding comes by the work of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. And so prayer, in one sense of the word, is when we contact the Spirit of God with our spirit. Jesus said so in John chapter 4 to the woman who had many husbands, and the one she was with was not her husband, and she was concerned about praying and seeking God. And Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and the day will come that we will worship him in spirit and in truth. Bless the name of the Lord." And so what she didn't have, Jesus was showing her she could have. And when she received it, she went around her village of Samaria and said, "Come see a man that hath told me everything about me. He's the Son of God." It was Jesus. Can you say amen? Well, the Bible says in Job's writing, verse 28 of the 22nd chapter, "Thou also shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. Amen. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. Well, the Bible says the word is a lamp and the word is a light. Amen. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And so when you pray and you pray the word, then not only will the thing be established, but you're going to get illumination, understanding, and revelation. That's why Paul said in Corinthians, but what is it? We pray in the Spirit, but we also pray with, what did he say? Understanding. And so you start out praying. You may not understand what it is. The Bible calls it the hidden treasures that are in the heart. But if they're hidden, they're not hidden to God. The Bible says he knows the beginning from the end. No, if they're hidden, then they're hidden to us. But when we pray in the Spirit, then will come understanding. And so the power of prayer is that when we decree a thing, it shall be established the moment you pray it. But then later on comes the illumination and the light. Can you say amen? And Job saw it with all his heart. That's what happened to Daniel. He began to pray and fast and seek the face of God. And the Bible says as he sought an answer, 21 days went by. On that 21st day, the Bible says an angel showed up and said, Daniel, he said, the Lord heard thy words. He heard thy words the first day that you called upon him. But you see, he said, the prince of Persia hath tried to withstand or to hold back the words or the power of prayer that was being established. And though 21 days went by, the angel said, but I am come now to give you that breakthrough, that word from God. Hallelujah. And so when you pray, the thing is established the moment you pray it. But the light or the illumination or the revelation, it may come 21 days from now. It may come 21 minutes from now. But that doesn't change the power of what you have prayed. And so we are believing that we are prayers of faith. And what I want to deal with is how that we operate as prayers of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. But it's the same principle. If it can raise up the sick, it can raise up the sinner. If it can raise up the sinner, it can raise up the brokenhearted. If it can raise up the brokenhearted, it can heal a marriage. If it can heal a marriage, it can touch your children. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Can you say amen? Well, let's lift our hands and give God the glory for it. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him, church. Hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then turn back to Psalm chapter 2, the second Psalm. The word of God is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. Oh, hallelujah. There's some things we need to learn to cut them out and get rid of the excess and lay aside every weight that would try to hinder us. And how we do it is by praying in faith. Can you say amen? Well, in Psalm 2, the second Psalm, look at verse 7. The Bible says, I will declare the decree that the Lord has said unto me. Who does the declaring, the Lord or you? Well, the Bible says you declare it, and it's what the Lord gave you. Well, what did he give you? He gave you his word. I said he gave you his word. So if we're going to decree something, it has to be based upon the word of the Lord. Can you say amen? He said, thou art my son. That speaks of relationship. That speaks of covenant. Can you say praise God? I've said this for years, and some people get mad when I say it, but it's scriptural, thoroughly scriptural. The only prayer that the Lord hears from a sinner that he's obligated to answer is the prayer of repentance. For the Bible says, if a man or woman regardeth iniquity in their heart, the Lord said, I will not hear them. Is that not the scripture? And yet we've taught people you can live any old way you want to live, and when you pray, God, oh, grace is so wonderful, God will cover you, and you can. No, if you're not living right, you're not going to get answers to prayer. It just got a little quiet. Now, I'm going to say it again. If you want to see prayers answered, then you have to be a man of faith or a woman of faith. Righteousness. It's very important that we live right. Can you say praise the Lord? If you can't, say ouch, but it's still good preaching anyhow. We have to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of the Lord, or we're not going to get our prayers answered. So really, the Bible teaches, and the psalmist declared it, the only prayer that God is obligated to answer from a sinner is the prayer of repentance. And what people do is they take prayer and they just put it all together and think that's prayer, not realizing that the word prayer is a person or an individual, and that God honors the faith of the one doing the praying. Are you still with me, or did you go home? And so the psalmist declared, and I love this psalm. He said, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me. Now, what is prayer but asking of the Lord? God's not asking you to answer the prayer, but we stand in the gap. God looked for a man. He searched for someone to stand in the gap. And prayer, and especially intercessory prayer, we stand in for somebody else. The highest goal in prayer is when you pray for somebody else. So we call that intercessory prayer. Are you still listening to me? Ask of me. Everybody say, ask of me. And I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. What is God saying? That we can pray and get people saved, the heathen will be converted even to the uttermost part of the earth, or this will work anywhere you go. Hallelujah. Ask of me. Ask of me. Ask of me. Well, if we're doing according to what the Word of God says, part of praying in faith is that we get around the altar, we make a place for God at home, wherever we're at, and begin to ask God for our family's souls and for their salvation. God plainly said we could ask, we could ask, we could ask, we could ask. And so I ask the Lord daily for certain things and certain individuals in certain regions. One day I was praying, I'll never forget this, and I had a desire to do more for God than what I felt we were doing. I don't know, I believe it was the Holy Ghost, but I began to pray, and I said, Lord, if you would, I'm going to go from the tip of Florida all the way to the tip of Maine, and I'm going to believe you to see the eastern seaboard in the flames of revival. I believe you're going to use me. Two-thirds of Americans live on this eastern part, the other side of the Mississippi, on this side. Most of our nation lives here. And so I was believing, praying. And in my spirit, the Lord said, ask me for Florida. Well, I don't mind asking him for Florida. In the early days of my ministry, when I had meetings, January, February, March, I was always in Maine, New Brunswick, up in the snow country. People came to church on snowmobiles and trucks and chains on their tires. And I'd open up. I used to take the Pentecostal Evangel. It was a magazine for a Pentecostal denomination. I look, all the evangelists were in Florida and Georgia and Texas and California. Then you'd see my name and it would say Aroostook County, Maine. I was the only evangelist that was up in the snow. And I said, well, praise God, all these years. And this was after about 20 years of traveling as an evangelist. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to ask you for Florida. I didn't know at the time one-third of Americans go to Florida between January and April. A third of our nation is in that state. Are you listening to me? So I said, Lord, give me Florida. This could not have been by my own doing. All of a sudden, my phone started ringing at my ministry headquarters, and it was ministers in Florida. And they said, Brother Shuttlesworth never comes down here. Well, that's not because I didn't want to go. Nobody invited me. Amen. And within 2 days, I had invitations to five of the largest churches in the state of Florida. Within 2 days' time, within 48 hours. Then I felt like, man, I should have prayed this years ago. Amen. And I went to every one of them. And within just 3 months' time, we saw almost 3,000 people come to Christ, many filled with the Holy Ghost, blind people healed, crippled people healed, deaf people healed. And some of the pastors said, we never see anything like this. Well, I felt like, well, I've been out here for 20 years. I don't know what you've been waiting for, but I've learned that you have to ask God for the souls of men and women. You have to ask God. Literally, part of praying in faith is asking God to do the thing and then believing that God brings it to pass. We should lift our hands right now and ask God to take out any spirit of slothfulness or laziness that may have crept in and say, Lord, use me for your glory. It's time to get off of that neutral gear, and it's time to get moving in drive. Hallelujah. If not overdrive, it's time to get moving. Time's running out. Jesus is coming. Our nation needs miracles. Our nation needs a turnaround. Our nation is in trouble. Are you hearing me? They're saying it. I don't believe it, but they're saying it. Well, you know, in such a time, a week or 2 weeks, we could be in a place where everything shuts down. The devil is a liar. In fact, I prophesy to you right now, nothing will shut down and nothing will fall apart and nothing will go downhill, but the hand of God is on this nation and the nations of the world. And because we pray in faith and we are the salt of the earth, the corruption is kept in check. The devil would like to shut everything down. The devil would like to put everybody in bondage. He'd like to put fear in your heart, but we are prayers of faith. We're not putting up with the devil's mess. The devil is a liar. He's got to loose this nation. He's got to loose your family. He's got to loose your mind. He's got to loose your body. Oh, hallelujah. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Hallelujah. But I have God on my side. I still have the shout of a king in the camp. And where the word of the king is, there's power. Hallelujah. There's power to save, power to heal, power to set you free. Come on, praise the Lord, church. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I feel that. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. I said glory, glory, glory. I said glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you, I know this is the last night, but I feel the strongest anointing. I dare you to lift your hands up into the glory and release this thing. Hallelujah. The prayer of faith. Praying to break things through. Praying to get people raised up by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not casual Christians. We're not just sliding into church and saying, I hope it works. But we decree a thing, and the thing which we shall decree, it shall be established. Can you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. The longest psalm in the Bible is the 119th psalm. You know that, but I say it by way of remembrance. Psalm 119. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to that 119th psalm. And I'm going to read a few verses, about three or four, to build our faith tonight to receive from the Lord. Psalm 119, and in particular the 169th verse. Let my cry. Well, he's talking about praying. He's talking about communicating to the Lord. Now, what did Jesus do in Mark chapter 11 so that faith would work and prayers could be answered? He set things in order. He set things in order. Hallelujah. You know, some people, they think order means that this is my chair and nobody can sit in it. I was preaching some years ago, Pastor Paul, up in the state of Maine. And years ago, in fact, my grandmother was saved and set free and filled with the Holy Ghost through these meetings. Amy Semple McPherson went through there. And she's in this little church in Aroostook County. And she said, everybody comes and sits in this chair, will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And true to that word God gave her for that night, everybody that sat in that chair when she laid hands on them were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, sometimes we can worship things instead of worshiping God. And from when she was there to when I came to preach, almost 53 years later, no longer than that, 63 years later, they still had that old, smelly, musty chair in the corner. They'd renovated the church, put in new pews, but they had a chair that even moths were afraid to land on it. It sagged in the middle. So I said to the pastor, what is this chair? He said, that's the Holy Ghost chair. I said, Holy Ghost chair? Yeah. He said, everybody that sits in it receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My wife was with me. She remembers this. I brought the chair over to the altar, and I stepped on it and broke it into pieces. A holy hush went over those believers. You just broke my Holy Ghost chair. I said, how many have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost before? Several hands went up. I said, come up here. And as they stood at the altar, I went down the line, laying hands on them, and they all began to speak instantly in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance and were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when I got to the last person, I said to the crowd, I want you to notice God didn't need the chair to fill him with the Holy Ghost. God didn't need that chair to fill him with the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I believe we miss out because we put things ahead of God. But when we get things in order, then God can do the work. Can you say amen? Cry, my cry, come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding, now notice, according to thy word. God doesn't want us to pray ignorantly, but he wants us to pray according to his word. How many see that there? And this is Old Testament. Let my supplication, that's King James, we would say our prayer request. Let my prayer request come before you and deliver me according to thy word. How does God answer prayer? According to his word. How does God answer prayer? According to his word. We need to get a word when we pray, and it gives the Holy Ghost the ability to answer our prayer. We don't just stand there and mumble words or go through some kind of form or ritual, but thank God we speak and pray the word of God over the circumstance. Psalm 119 verse 171, my lips shall utter praise. We need to thank God as if it's already ours, because according to the word of God, it is a finished work. It is the past tense of the gospel. Can you say amen? The work that he wrought in Christ, who is seated, hallelujah, in heavenly places with the Father. Oh, glory to God, who hath, past tense, delivered us out of the hand of the devil. And we are far above principalities and powers and might and dominion. Past tense, it's already done. We pray. Praise God as if we've already received it. I say, thank you, Lord, you're more than enough. I say, thank you, Lord, that you are bringing me through. I say, thank you, Lord, the devil can't have this nation or any nation. We're still in the last day outpouring. And in the last day, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We're not headed to ruin. We're headed into revival and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Woo, and we pray like that. Verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Write this down. Get the CD later. But one of the things we know, our tongues to speak of his word. The Bible says so. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says you live by the word. We live by every word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, you're judged by your words. Jesus said, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, you are known by your words. Are you listening to me? Matthew 26, verse 27, the Bible says we learn by the word. Hallelujah. Luke 5:5, the Bible says you receive blessing from your words. We're to bless and curse not, the Bible says. Amen. Luke 20 verse 26, the Bible says you're protected by your words. John 6:63, you are anointed by your words. John 15:7, you are guaranteed answers to prayer by your words. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, your words are life-giving or they are death-destroying. Hallelujah. The power of life and death is in the tongue. When you pray by faith, you're not praying in unbelief. You're not praying with doubt. You're not saying, Lord, I hope it works. But the prayer of faith says, I know the Lord will raise them up. My words justify me. My words guarantee it. My words bring the anointing to me. My words, as I speak them according to God's words, they always guarantee an answer from heaven. Can you shout hallelujah? Now turn over to James, the 5th chapter. And in the closing moments, I want to look a little bit more in depth to what we call the prayer of faith. Someone say, I said it, and I'm not taking it back. See, the devil has to obey the word of God coming out of you. I don't have time, but there's a whole teaching I've heard other ministers teach on the authority of the believer. We need to understand that. We have authority. Hallelujah. Where the word of the king is, there's power. Praise God. James chapter 5. And I want to begin reading, if I may, with the 14th verse. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them, see, the prayers of faith, the people that are doing the praying. In this case, it's the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We talked a little bit in the last lesson this morning about faith in the name of Jesus. There is no other name given among men whereby we might be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise God. He's Lord over everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's Lord over cancers. He's Lord over sugar diabetes. Some of you need to stir your faith up, because if the devil were ever to attack us, our answer can only be found in the Word. I heard the other day from Atlanta when I was down there preaching the disease control center. They said America is being swamped with what they call super viruses. And they say we have no cure for these super viruses. Some they call flesh eating diseases. It literally just starts eating people's flesh up. And here's the church. We have the answer. We have the cure. Jesus bore every sickness and every disease on the cross. He suffered and he bled and he died. Bless him forever. My elder brother did. Woo! Glory to God. My elder brother did that. Hallelujah. And here people are in fear. Oh, we have super viruses. And what is their answer? Well, we won't give people medicine because the medicine might build up a resistance that causes the viruses to mutate and get stronger. Let me tell you something. If anybody's going to get stronger, it's the child of God. If anybody's going to get stronger, it's the blood-bought church. Hallelujah. If anybody's going to get stronger, it's you and I that are filled up with the Word of God and believe that when we speak God's Word, we receive answers and the illumination comes. Let the devil's crowd watch it, but we're going to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost that heals us from sickness and disease and sets us free. What kind of Jesus is this? He not only saves us from hell, but in our life, on our way to heaven, he said, I'll keep you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, which means you need to have a church home and you need to have a pastor, an elder over you. Some people, I call them church gypsies. They go from place to place to place. You're completely out of the will of God. You don't have the covering of the scripture. And in my opinion, you're pretty foolish. Because in this last day, the Bible says evil things are going to wax worse and worse. So what are you doing running around without a covering? Well, either someone never taught you this from the scripture, or they did and you're in rebellion to the Word of God. It's one of the two. It's either ignorance or stupidity. You choose which you are. Amen. I'd rather be called ignorant than stupid. Are you still listening to me? And so the Bible says, let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. Not the prayer of faith, but the Lord does it. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One translation, what is it? The Amplified says, makes much power available. Praise God. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Notice how the prayer of faith is defined by a man, by the elders. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. He's not praying for someone to be healed. He's following a command and a pattern that God gave him. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And so here it's showing us the full scope. Everybody say the full scope. the full scope of how the prayer of faith can operate. Not only in healing the sick, but in dealing in holding back the hand of God through the rain, and then again bringing the rain. And not only that, but bringing a sinner to conversion. And the Bible says covering up multitudes of sin. When you give your heart to God, you don't come down and confess every sin you did. Some of you'd be here till the rapture took place. No, you just cut to roll it into a ball and you give your heart to Christ and you say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. Now in these closing moments, we're talking about the prayer of faith. I want you to notice something in this fifth chapter of James. And in particular, let's deal with healing as we've been ministering to the sick in many of the services. There are three parts to healing in the scripture. Do you know what they are? There's three things. A lot of people don't know, and that's why they never get healed. They don't know the word. And the Bible says, by that word, you're justified or put in the right position. Well, what is the right position when you're sick? To be healed. Isn't that right? There are three parts to healing. Now, if you go over to Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the Bible says concerning you that believe the word of God, every believer, they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall lay hands on the sick. Isn't that right? And then the Bible says the prayer of faith. That would be the one laying hands on the sick, wouldn't it? You just don't walk up and say, beautiful. No. You lay hands on them. You don't have to lay hands on their head. But I do, men or women. You don't try to push them down. You just lay your hand on their head and pray. Now, in this meeting twice, I've had three people. When I lay hands on them, they start moving back. You know why they're doing that? They're not receiving the impartation of the faith of God. And so they just keep moving back. So I grabbed them. I said, come up here and stand here. If I could, I'd put a block tackle on the back of them so they couldn't move. Because you see, the anointing is tangible and it goes into you. And it goes into your spirit, then it manifests in your body and in your mind. Are you listening to me? Our spirits bear witness one with another. And so when the prayer of faith prays and hands are laid on, out of the spirit of the one doing the praying into the spirit of the one that needs the prayer, there's a transference of that anointing. By impartation. Can you say amen? Works the same way to receive the Holy Ghost. And Paul laid hands on them and they all began to speak with other tongues as they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts. And so it comes the same way. So it's a pattern. Everybody say it's a pattern. So number one, when you're sick, you need to get someone to lay hands on you and pray for you. And if you're hooked into a church, the Bible says call on the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil. Now, that's only one way God heals, but I found over six different ways God heals the sick. Are you listening to me? In one, Fenton's translation says concerning the 103rd Psalm, he sent his word and it, the word, healed them. Fenton's translation. You can be sitting here hearing the word and get healed. That happened to me in Breezewood, Pennsylvania. You remember this, dear? Two Lutheran ladies came into the meeting. We're sitting in the second row. I was just reading my scripture and I was getting ready to preach. On blind Bartimaeus. And I saw these two women talking to each other. Now, the way my mom raised me, if someone else is talking, you don't talk. You let them talk. So I stopped and I said, go ahead, ladies. Say whatever you got to say. After what they told me, I felt 2 inches small. She said, we don't know what happened. My friend was blind her whole life in her eye. And just now, as you're reading from the Bible, her eye has come open. And her friend is shaken under the power of God. Now I feel 2 inches tall. I found out the word, just as the word goes forth, it can open your blind eyes. Are you listening to me? And my wife and I were there, and we had her stand. She gave the testimony. She was in her 50s, had been blind from birth in one of her eyes. But as the word of God was being read, her blind eye came open in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Can you clap your hands and shout hallelujah? I said, shout hallelujah. The prayer of faith. I said, the prayer of faith. But there are other ways. Then we read in the book of Acts that they sent from the body of the apostle Paul handkerchief for aprons under the sick and the disease and they that had devils. And when they received them, the Bible says they were healed of their diseases and the devils departed from them. And so the tangible anointing can get in cloth. Now, cloth doesn't heal. If cloth could heal, you'd all be healed because you got cloth on. But it's not the cloth that heals. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost that heals. Amen. I could take this man. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. But we could go out on the street and find sick people, and we could use some of these methods, and we'd come back, and he'd tell you, and I'd tell you, they got healed by the Word of God. Praise God. Someone says, you mean God would use me? Sure. He used a jackass once in the Bible. He'd use every one of us. Can you say praise God? That's why we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We are vessels in the hands of God. Well, I can't pray. I have an important job, and I don't want to get my clothes messed up. I know why, and that's why God can't use you, is that stinking pride. And there's many ways God would do it, but primarily we're talking about the prayer, the one doing the praying. So number one, everybody say number one. Person doing the praying, the prayer of faith, along with Mark 16, they shall lay hands on the sick, the prayer of faith. So the first step in being healed is to get somebody to lay hands on you and agree with you, you'll be healed. Now, I believe that we go to church, we should call on the elders of the church. It doesn't say they're to call on you. One pastor told me, he said, my biggest role is visitation. I said, well, that's wonderful, but it's not scriptural. They're to call on you, and you're not to wear yourself out running around the town trying to find anybody that may let you pray. You see, God weeds it out, because if you're calling, you're desperate. Are you hearing me? God doesn't want his ministers working as firemen, running here and there, putting out fires. No, the Bible says the man of God is to be given to the study of the word and to prayer. Isn't that right? The second step, the Bible says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. James chapter 5. The second step is God's part. Hallelujah. God does the raising. No man can heal. Only Jesus heals. And he paid the price for it on the cross. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall raise him up. You know, God's in the business of raising people up. I said God is in the business of raising people up. Hallelujah. God is in the business of raising people up. I had a preacher friend that had tuberculosis. He was on the Oklahoma State basketball team. He was one of the top players on the team. They won the state championship, and he collapsed in the game. Blood coming out of his mouth. And they took him home to die. He was only 17 years of age. Stood 6'3". Everybody thought he was a great fella. There was a lawyer in the town, said, I'm going to groom you to be a lawyer, and someday you'll be the governor of Oklahoma. Looked like he had everything set, had everybody backing him. He was well liked, but that tuberculosis knocked him flat on his back on the basketball court, and he began to ooze blood out of his mouth, and they took him back home to his parents' home to die. And he said, the local minister came in, and he said, he never laid hands on me, and he never anointed me with oil, and he never prayed over me, but he began to pray, Lord, receive your servant into thy hands and give him a glorious home going. Well, he said, at 17, I wasn't ready to die. And he said, the minister went on to say, now Father, this disease that you've put on him to make him spiritual, may it work in him and bring him home to glory. He said, about the third minute of the guy's praying, he was signaling his brother, get him out of my bedroom. I don't blame him. That's not the prayer of faith, that's the prayer of unbelief. It's prayed in churches. Oh Father, Sister Bucketmouth is in the hospital and she's about to die, but anoint the stainless steel knife as the surgeon cuts into her flesh. May the tumor disappear. That's not the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of stupidity. Are you hearing me? The prayer of faith is God's going to raise you up. You shall be healed. Hands shall be laid upon you, and the Lord shall raise you up. And he said his brother came with a car and sister, and they took him to a meeting under a tent, and they took his emaciated body, and the fellow was preaching. And the fellow was preaching, all sickness, all disease comes from the devil. And he preached from Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. He said, ladies and gentlemen, all sickness, all disease is an oppression of the devil, but you can be healed tonight. That young teenager told me, he said, when I heard that, I knew that was the right preaching. Amen. And he
said, I went and he laid hands on me and the bleeding stopped and strength came in his body. And he got up on the platform and all in front of that crowd said, I'm called now to preach. What I didn't tell you, his whole life he was a stutterer. He not only got healed of tuberculosis, but that night his stuttering tongue, his stammering tongue was healed, and he began to preach a little message under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He went on for 60 plus years to preach the gospel. His name was Oral Roberts. He told me this story himself. Jesus raised him up. Hallelujah. The first part, you got to find somebody that'll pray in faith. And the second part, you got to believe the Lord will cause you to recover. He will raise you up. What kind of Jesus is this? He's Jesus who's on the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All you got to do is call and he will answer your prayer. The prayer of faith. And then the last part, and I close with this. The Bible says you shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. The Bible says, call on the elders of the church, they'll pray for you, anoint you with oil. And then the Bible says, the Lord will cause you to recover. Isn't that right? He'll raise you up. But then look at the last part of Mark 16. The Bible speaks of this. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they, that is the sick, they shall recover. The third part is, by using the word of God, you just get better, 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 better. You just get gooder, 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 gooder. You just get stronger, 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 stronger. I heard those words in my spirit at the beginning of this year. I've been prophesying them the whole year long. We're getting better, better, better. The body of Christ is getting gooder, gooder, gooder. We're getting stronger, stronger, stronger. God is taking the bad and turning it into good. Hallelujah. You haven't seen the best yet. God is not through blessing us. Can you say amen? The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise you up. But it works in many areas. It even speaks at the close of that chapter of sinners being converted. When I was a boy, they used to sing a song. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at Christ's cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Oh, yes, there's room at the cross for you. You may be battling things tonight, struggling, feel like you're coming up against the wall, but you can lift your hand and say, there's room at the cross. Sing it if you know it. For me, there's room at Christ's cross for me. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for me. Praise God. My wife's grandfather had never been to church. At one point, he was in Guinness's Book of Records for what we would call his birth. But his life had nothing that separated him. He helped to hand dig the Panama Canal before World War II when they started the work with a shovel. He was in the cavalry. He had an exceptional life, but nothing that seemed to be outstanding. He was a tugboat captain when he came back, worked the bay. Just a precious man, but was unchurched and never had asked Jesus into his heart. One day, Pop, we called him Pop, he got sick. He got very sick, and they took him to the hospital. And I'll never forget, I went in. He said, I know God talks to you. Am I going to die? When he said it, though, I had no knowledge in my spirit when I went in. It come right up in my spirit. I said, no, Pop, here's the word of the Lord. You're going to get up this time and be healed and be saved. And he began to weep. And 1 week later, I sat in his home while he was eating Campbell's tomato soup. And he said, I beat the devil. I said, you did. In those days, in that part of New England, there was not a lot of strong churches or evangelists. And I was laboring in church after church, believing God to stir things up.
And there was an evangelist in those days. Some of you will know his name, some will not. His name was Jimmy Swagger. And he said that the Holy Ghost told him to go to Providence, Rhode Island, and to rent the Veterans Auditorium and to hold a revival. And I didn't know it, but Pop was at home on Sunday while we'd be in church. He was watching Jimmy Swaggart, and the singing got to him. He just liked that singing. So he come to me, and he said, "Will you take me downtown to the veterans to hear my buddy?" It was his personal buddy. I didn't even know that. He said, "My buddy's in town, Jimmy Swaggart." I said, "Come on, Bonnie." We all went down, her mother, dad. And Pop was a very tight individual. By that, I mean he didn't blow his money. And so a guy was walking up down the aisle and said, "We have three records tonight for $15. Pop stood up, took that wallet out, unhooked the chain, opened it up, and reached in and pulled out three moldy $5 bills. He said, "I'll take three records." And he bought them records. I'll never forget it. Sat down with them under his arm, and he looked like the cat that swallowed the canary. And he looked over at me, and he winked, and I was so happy because now he's going to hear the gospel perhaps for the first time in person. The message was preached and the altar call was given, and he turned to me and handed me those three records. He said, "I got to go get saved." And he got up out of his seat, that theater style seat, and went down and prayed that prayer with the evangelist that he might be saved and that he might be born again. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The importance of the prayer of faith is the Bible closes that fifth chapter. You can convert a soul. Amen. I believe that if someone's sick and they don't know the Lord, you can release your faith in the prayer of faith, get them healed until they come into the hands of God and they're converted and their sins are blotted out. Can you say amen? I believe God will heal you if you're saved, and I believe God can heal you if you're not saved. But what greater illustration than that fifth chapter of James, that the prayer of faith saves the sick, but it also converts the soul and covers a multitude of sins. I'm telling you, we're moving as the church into this final hour, and we need to learn how to operate in Bible faith, and we need to learn how to use this faith to pray the prayer of faith. We are the prayers of faith, and tonight God will set you free. If you're here, even if it's just one sin, one thing, God will deliver you from that one thing, and you can be converted. Every head bowed as the musicians come back. Brother Paul, he's been helping us in these musicians, Jasmine and so forth. We love them. Amen. Every head bowed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be in Clifton Park. I thank you that you led us here to Harvest Church back in 1985. And perhaps no other church that we've been involved in, we've been involved here over the years believing God. And I thank you, Lord, for the people that are here tonight. I believe you've brought them from the north, the south, and the east and the west. And some are struggling in their soul to be free from things the devil's trying to use to separate them from God and to draw them away that they might be destroyed. But as a preacher of the gospel tonight, as an evangelist, I pray you'd anoint me to call them back into the kingdom this night, to call them into this great work. May the anointing of the Holy Ghost be on every man and every woman right now. And let them see there's nothing in this life worth losing their soul over. But God, I pray by the drawing of the Spirit, by the drawing of the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray this in faith. Let them be converted. Let them be set free. God, do a work. And I come against the powers of hell, the powers of the devil that would try to discourage and even deceive the people. By the blood of Jesus and the cross of Calvary, I break that deception, I break that power, and I speak over every life here tonight, freedom through Christ, freedom through the blood, freedom through the delivering power of Jesus Christ. I thank you for